Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for tonight. And I ask that we would take to heart tonight the things that your Spirit has said to us, and that we would be moved by fear of the Lord to live our lives in such a way to please you. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so 2 Kings 8 and 9 tonight, Bible study entitled, The Fear of the Lord Is. So we're going to fill in some blanks tonight, or maybe create some blanks for you to fill in. Now, stirred up by way of reminder, and in the fear of the Lord, it was in 2013, in May of 2013, which is now 13 years ago, that the Holy Spirit said to us that we were the Church of Sardis. And the word to the Church of Sardis was, you have a name that you're alive, but you're dead. Now, in the fear of the Lord, I listened. And in the fear of the Lord, we've listened. And as I would stir this up by way of action, it begins with, Elisha spoke to the woman whose son he had restored to life. Now, right there, what does it mean for you to be Spirit-filled? I mean, Elisha, full of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, he prays to God, and this boy who had died was restored to life. Now, in here, you can just begin with this. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. Fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. So I'm going to strengthen you and encourage you tonight in the fear of God, that you would hold fast unto this truth, that Spirit of the Lord was upon Jesus Christ. Again, as he stands up in the synagogue in Nazareth and opens the scroll to a different part of the daily reading and turns to what we know as Isaiah 61 and declares that he's the Messiah with the specific Spirit of Jehovah, the Lord God, upon him to preach the gospel, to set captives free, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And it is Isaiah who has prophesied that when the Messiah would come, that he would come out of the root of Jesse, that there would be this shoot out of the dry ground, as it were, appearing seemingly from nowhere, but out of the root of Jesse, thus son of David, as you grasp this wonderful truth about the Messiah, that the Messiah would be filled with the Holy Spirit without measure. That's the way that John records it in the New Testament. Isaiah prophesied that the Spirit of the Lord would be upon him. Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Now, when we consider Sardis, this is a wonderful way that Jesus introduces himself to the Church of Sardis as the one who has the seven spirits of God, or the sevenfold Spirit of God. And I'm emphasizing tonight, Elisha, full of the Holy Spirit. There's only a handful in scriptures who God used in a gifts of miracles or power to bring back one who was dead to life again. And I count this, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. Without the Holy Spirit, that child would have never been born. And then on top of it, that child without the Holy Spirit, when the child died, would not have been restored to life. Yet we read it just simply in passing, restored to life. And so I need you to count something tonight. And what I want you to count is your actions from beginning to end of this Christian life. Not just the beginning of it. Okay? Because in the fear of God, I want to make it, right? I want to make it to the end. I want all of you in the fear of the Lord to make it to the end of your race. Finish the race, as it were. We're going to find Elisha finishes well. And we continue on with Elisha by way of a testimony of his continued action, living full of the Holy Spirit in the fear of God. So the idea tonight of that the Spirit of the Lord upon me, right, that this is how I know the fear of the Lord. I know the fear of the Lord because the Spirit of God within me causes these actions of mine now to be much more interested in obeying God's word and pleasing God, if that reaches you. Elisha spoke to the woman whose son he had restored to life, saying, "Arise and go, you and your household, and stay wherever you can, for the Lord has called for a famine, and furthermore, it will come upon the land of 7 years." Now, we don't have much action like this. They did it in the book of Acts. Agabus, right? He's called a prophet in the book of Acts. He gets a word from God that there is going to be a famine that's coming, and then the Holy Spirit showing things to come, he tells everybody. This fear of God upon our lives that the Holy Spirit will show us things to come. In this case, Elisha is declaring to this woman to leave. Go find a refuge, if you will. Furthermore, it will come for a land of 7 years. Now, in this title tonight, The Fear of the Lord Is, there's going to be about five or six of these tonight, and I already gave you the first one. The Fear of the Lord is a Fountain of Life. I didn't know it was coming there, so it wasn't in my notes, but that's number one. And that's also why I say there's five or six, because there might actually be 10 by the time we're done. This fear of the Lord upon us, it's a fountain of life. Okay? Anybody look that up where that's at in the Proverbs? Is that 14:23? Is that right? 14:27? Read the whole proverb out loud for me. Do you got it? Okay, no problem. We got time, because as soon as you read it out loud, then I'm going to repeat it for the microphone. Proverb 14:27. Is that the right one?
Yes.
So read it so everybody in the room can hear you. That's not the right one. The fear of the Lord is the fountain of life. Is that in there? Is it in there twice? Okay, give me that one. I don't know that one. I mean, I know it. I'll stop arguing with you. Okay, Proverbs 14:27?
Yeah.
Okay, what's it say? Okay, good. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to turn away from the snares of death. I thought you said a wise woman builds her house or something.
I thought you meant to read the whole Proverb.
No, okay. Just that one verse. Okay. Fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. Just verse 27. Okay. Now, we enter into this tonight, and I just ask you to open up your heart to the Lord concerning what he's done in times past. Can you imagine if the Holy Spirit stopped his work with Elisha? I mean, likewise, if the Holy Spirit has stopped since the book of Acts, I mean, those who are cessationists are, it's absolutely, completely off track. Now, why I introduce this to you this way is because without the fear of the Lord, without the Spirit of God upon us, we wouldn't know the fear of the Lord. And we're going to enter into this. God's calling for a judgment upon the land for 7 years. The woman arose and did according to the saying of the man of God, and she went with her household and dwelt in the land of the Philistines 7 years. And after the 7 years are over, she returns from the land of the Philistines, and then she makes appeal to the king to have her house and her land restored. But the next one I want to introduce to you tonight, the fear of the Lord is clean, from Psalm 19:9. Now, who was talking to me this week about Psalm 19? Because somebody, that was John talking to me about Psalm 19. And I had just read it the couple days before. Now, find your way to Psalm 19:9. Clean is pure, by the way. So pure and clean. And when we talk about our faith being tested, or Abraham being tested, that Peter describes our faith being tested that it might come forth pure, and the Lord tests the righteous. The fear of the Lord is clean. So, purity. And I believe it works with this understanding of what this gift of prophecy means concerning the fear of God. God's calling for a famine. There's a judgment coming to the land of Israel, and she's told to take refuge. So here it is, Psalm 19:9. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. Okay? That's a purifying effect upon our faith. In the fear of God, when God says to me by the Spirit, I will obey his word to me. That's fear of God. You get a word of prophecy and you know it's from God. What do you do with it? So this woman obeys. So the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Now, we're going to tuck that one away tonight, and we're going to pick that one up at the end of chapter 9. We're going to look at this, and so I just account when the Lord has called for a famine, I know in the fear of the Lord that is pure, if he's called for a famine, that his judgments are right and true. Okay? So likewise, you can approach even your chastening when God chastens you, that you can count in the fear of the Lord, you can count his chastening unto you as a righteous and true action. And so it's what purifies us. Okay? Can you imagine if God didn't correct you? It's astounding to me to think that God, he has to correct. Because his judgments are right and true. And so this woman arose and does according to this. Now, you'll notice in here the 7 years. And so she is put out of the land, as it were, for 7 years. And we have a foreshadowing here of the tribulation. We have some typologies going on. We have the woman of the resurrected son, whose son died and was resurrected again. That's Israel. It's a type. And now for 7 years of famine or 7 years of tribulation. And now here's Psalm 19:9 in agreement with God. That time period of tribulation for Israel is for their purifying. So the fear of the Lord is clean. Now, let's look these up if you are interested. I'm sure interested in this typology. Let's look up Daniel 12:1. Because if there's no more fear of the Lord, prophecy's out the window. Why follow Bible prophecy? Well, because everything that God says comes true, and it will prepare you for what's coming. Proverbs 12:1, at that time Michael shall stand, Daniel 12:1, at that time Michael shall stand up, that great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. Okay? Now, at that time, sets this forth, many, again, identifying God's going to use that time. Let's look at Zechariah 13:9. The fear of the Lord is clean. All of his judgments are right and true. If God's calling for a 7-year time of tribulation to purify Israel, then God is right and true. And in the fear of the Lord, that tribulation period is absolutely necessary for Israel. Zechariah 13:9, I will bring the 1/3 through the fire, will refine them as silver is refined, and test them as gold is tested. They will call on my name, and I will answer them, and I will say, this is my people, and each one will say, the Lord is my God. Yeah. We're not going to turn there, but you can also jot down Jeremiah 30, verses 7 and 11. So here we are, awaiting the rapture of the church, awaiting for the Messiah to call us up to meet him in the air. For all those who have been born of God's Spirit, knowing that after that, immediately after that, the Antichrist is going to be revealed, and that the world is going to be thrust into a time of tribulation for 7 years. And as it were, as we study this typology, back in 2 Kings 8, the Lord's calling for a famine. The Lord has purpose. now you just get the wranglings between political parties and them blaming each other. Nobody ever says, this was God who did this. What an amazing concept that all the people in the fear of God would say, it's time to seek God. And so, verse 4, the king talked with Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, saying, tell me, please, all the great things Elisha has done. Now, right there in verse 4, again, just capitalizing on this tonight, Elisha in the type of Christ, full of the Holy Spirit, a man, right? So again, a man full of the Holy Spirit, describing the greater works, okay? Isn't this what our Lord taught us? In the fear of the Lord, do you believe the word that says, and these works that I do, you will do greater works because I go to the Father? Well, that's the invitation to pray and to ask in his name. And so then let's answer the question, why do we not see the greater works? Elisha saw them, Gehazi saw them, and now Gehazi is declaring the greater works to the king. And this is very important. In the fear of the Lord, we need prayer and the power of the Holy Spirit. Now it happened as he was telling the king how he had restored the dead to life, that there was the woman whose son he had restored to life. Now there you can just circle, now it happened, and say, oh, coincidence. Now, we know this, in the fear of the Lord, when God puts you somewhere, and you're there at the right time, that's the fear of the Lord. I was listening to a testimony of again, from a couple years ago, a man I know who, in sharing his testimony how he got saved and how he ended up in Minnesota at the state fair, and how he took steps and he believed God was talking to him and didn't know God in any way, shape, or form, ends up following this bus that took people who went to the state fair all the way out to the parking lot, ends up in an empty parking lot near a Walmart and somewhere else, And he's out there in this parking lot, doesn't even know where he's at. And yet, one of the brothers from Calvary Chapel St. Paul wasn't even supposed to be in town that weekend, went to Walmart, and then the Holy Spirit said to him, go talk to that guy over there. And he got saved that day. Now, it happened. And so, in the fear of God, as you count your steps day by day, where you go, or not your step counter, but how you count where you go, what you do, when you're spirit filled, expect that you will have this going on. In the fear of the Lord, you don't count your day. And it happened as he was telling the king how he had restored that life. The woman shows up. Gehazi said, my lord, O king, this is the woman. And this is her son whom Elisha restored to life. And when the king asked the woman, she told him. So the king appointed a certain officer for her, saying, restore all that was hers. I don't know if she had her court case all planned. She shows up, and in the fear of God, she obeyed to go, forsaking all that she had. It may not come back to her, but look what God did for her. Restored, and again, quite easily. So again, in that picture of the third that make it through the time of tribulation and trying and two-thirds and are destroyed and a third are refined, and then everything is restored to them by the Messiah. And even the proceeds from the field from the day she left had been returned to her. Verse 7. Then Elisha went to Damascus, and Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, was sick, and it was told him, saying, the man of God has come here. This title's not tossed around lightly. Okay, my desire is to be a godly man. The thought to like say a man of God, that's beyond me. That's not something anyone I think would take unto themselves. So Elisha, again, now I'm going to root this in something for you. This was one of the things Elijah was given in that cave with the still small voice. Okay? And it's going to be completed by Elisha. Or just, so these things that the Holy Spirit is saying to you, and that these things need to happen, and you might work on them your entire life and never see them, but the next person that takes up that same work completes it and finishes it. That's this with Ben-Hadad. So Ben-Hadad gets sick. Elisha goes, and the king says to Hazael, his servant, take a present in your hand, go meet the man of God and inquire the Lord by him, saying, shall I recover from this disease? Now, in the fear of God, the previous kings of Israel wouldn't even inquire the Lord with Elijah. Now, a foreign king who has obviously heard of the actions of Elisha, and now Elisha shows up, even the pagans and heathens are listening. Inquire of the Lord, shall I recover from this disease? So Hazael went to meet him, took the present with him of every good thing of Damascus, 40 camel loads. He came and stood before him and said, your son Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, has sent me to you, saying, shall I recover from this disease? And Elisha said to him, go say to him, you shall certainly recover. However, the Lord has shown me that he really will die. Then he set his countenance in a stare until he was ashamed. So Elisha, after he says that, okay, now he just stares him down and can't take his gaze off of him. And then the man of God wept. Hazael said, why is my Lord weeping? He answered, because I know the evil that you will do to the children of Israel. Their strongholds you will set on fire, and their young men you will kill with the sword, and you will dash their children and rip open their women with child. So Hazael said, but what is your servant, a dog, that he should do this gross thing? And Elisha answered, the Lord has shown me that you will become king over Syria. Then he departed from Elisha and came to his master and said to him, what did Elisha say to you? And he said, answered, he told me you would surely recover. But it happened on the next day that he took a thick cloth, dipped it in water over his face so that he died, and Hazael reigned in his place. Now, the fear of the Lord is. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. It's today's proverb, 8:13. If you're reading a proverb a day, Proverbs 8:13. The fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance, and the evil way, and the perverse mouth I hate. Now, this phrase that has arisen, and I believe it's in the text here tonight. Hazael says, what am I, a dog? So this phrase, it scares me what I'm capable of. Now in the fear of the Lord, and just how do you count it? If you backslide, does your life go on kind of like it does right now? Or do you count it, if I backslide, I'm all the way back to all of my sins that I did before I was a believer, and I destroy and wreck my life and the lives of others. You could not have told Hazael before that day that he would do these things. In fact, his response is, what am I, a dog? That I'm going to do this gross thing? Now, what is man capable of? What's the answer? Evil. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Now, one of my acquaintances never was around enough at the same time at Calvary Chapel St. Paul. Same guy I'm talking about, his testimony. There's a reason I went out and listened to his testimony, because he was arrested on Sunday night. And he was serving the Lord in another church in another town. And lost it all. Arrested, charged with first-degree attempted murder. Now, when I take this to heart, what is man capable of? What is Hazael capable of? And then put your name in the blank. Okay. Now, I knew this in the fear of the Lord when I answered the call. And when I answered the call to pastor, and I answered the call, again, even as I headed into marriage, knowing what I had done previously, what I was capable of in the fear of the Lord, this is why I live now the way I live. I have fail safes in place. I have people in place. My wife has two people she can call if I go off the rails. So you just, again, as you, in the fear of the Lord, is to hate evil. And I came to this proverb this morning. I didn't even know about what happened on Sunday night. I was reading it today, and I went back and listened to his testimony, and it's what I'm capable of, right? I am capable of evil. It's not what goes into a man that defiles him, it's what comes out of a man. So in the fear of the Lord, what is a man capable of? And it ends up in verse 15, Hazael then kills Ben-Hadad. Now in the fifth year of Joram, son of Ahab, king of Israel, Jehoshaphat, having been king of Judah, Joram, the son of Jehoshaphat, began to reign as king of Judah. Now, it's only the Spirit of the Lord upon you that can actually produce that fear of God concerning what you're capable of. That's the fear of the Lord. The next one, the fear of the Lord is Proverbs 1:7, the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. He's 32 years old when he became king, and he reigned 38 years in Jerusalem. Verse 18, and he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, just as the house of Ahab had done, for the daughter of Ahab was his wife, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord. Yet the Lord would not destroy Judah for the sake of his servant David, as he promised to give him a lamp to him and his sons forever. In his days, Edom revolted against Judah's authority and made king over themselves. So Joram went to Zer, and all his chariots with him. He arose at night and attacked the Edomites who had surrounded him, captains of the chariots, the troops that fled their tents. Thus Edom has been revolt against Judah's authority this day, and Libna revolted against him. Now the rest of the acts of Joram and all that he did, are they not written in the chronicles of the kings of Judah? So Joram rested with his fathers, was buried with his fathers in the city of David, and Ahaziah his son reigned in his place. We have one key verse, which is verse 18. He walked in the way of the kings of Israel and did evil in the sight of the Lord. So here's Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Fools. Yeah. Let me restore your record on this. Parents, right? Jehoshaphat joins himself to Ahab's house through marriage, and he almost gets snared a couple times, but he makes it through by a warning of prophecy, and at another time the ships get destroyed when he's on this venture to go get gold together. But his kids, but his children. Now, why pick up Proverbs for parenting, and especially as your children get older? And so you can, in the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom, so that they can have that wisdom instruction. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. And so the kids, right? So this is Joram, in the son of Jehoshaphat. Do you notice he's got the same name as the son of Ahab? No difference. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And so in the fear of the Lord, what do you partake of that you could be okay with it? You're able to keep your life in Christ, but it's on the edge. And then your children, if they follow in your footsteps, when they follow in your footsteps, they won't be able to withstand to the level that you could withstand. because they won't have all of the same safeguards because they don't know your safeguards. So in the fear of the Lord, we didn't watch TV for, I think, 7 years while the kids were really young. Now, just again, these things in the fear of the Lord, don't dare put a smartphone in your children's hands or a smart tablet or a connection to the world in the fear of the Lord. Now, you have to decide that. But fools despise wisdom and instruction and go right through the list. When is the right age to? And that's the parental stuff. So in the 12th year, verse 25, of Joram, son of Ahab, king of Israel, Ahaziah, son of Joram, king of Judah, began to reign. Okay, so how many do we have tonight so far? Anybody writing them all down? Fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. Fear of the Lord is clean. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Now here we have the fear of the Lord prolongs days. Proverbs 10:27. And we look at this one. And the last one was phrased in the negative. If you can handle that part okay. So the fear of the Lord, I got to look this one up. Don't have it written down. So the compare contrast of the Proverbs, you get both sides. Just like I can share the testimony of the man who got arrested on Sunday night, backslidden, completely gone. You listen to his testimony, he says, some people backslide, and when they backslide, you can't tell the difference. He says, when I've backslidden, I destroy everything and I destroy people's lives. And those words are piercing. Okay? Now you listen to this, 10:27, the fear of the Lord prolongs days, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. Let's look at Ahaziah. He's 22 years old when he became king. He reigned 1 year in Jerusalem. Everybody with me now? Now, his mother's name was Athaliah. Go ahead and underline her. We'll pick her up here in a couple weeks. Well, when I'm back. She's the granddaughter of Omri, king of Israel. And that's how all that evil got going in the northern kingdom. And then Jehoshaphat, once again, finding a spouse for his children and then grandchildren, and all of a sudden they're married to some evil. So again, I'll phrase it, 10:27. The fear of the Lord prolongs days, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. He reigned for 1 year. He walked in the way of the house of Ahab and did evil in the sight of the Lord, like the house of Ahab, for he was the son-in-law of the house of Ahab. Now he went with Joram, the son of Ahab, to war against Hazael, king of Syria. Ramoth-Gilead, the Syrians, wounded Joram. Do you remember Jehoshaphat's stance? My people are as your people. Now, he was warned twice by the prophet and escaped the snare and prolonged his days. But his grandson, now, I hope you're listening to this tonight. The son, right? And then the grandson. The grandson reigns for 1 year because he had joined to that house in marriage. He went with Joram at Ramoth-Gilead. The Syrians wounded Joram. Verse 28. King Joram went back to Jezreel to recover the wounds which Syrians had inflicted on him at Ramah. And when he had fought against Hazael, king of Syria, Ahaziah, the son of Joram, king of Judah, went down to see Joram, son of Ahab, in Jezreel because he was sick. And you can put a little asterisk there. And then the years of the wicked will be shortened. That decision right there shortens his life. And Elisha the prophet called one of the sons of the prophets and said to him, get yourself ready to take this flask of oil in your hand to Ramoth-Gilead. When you arrive at that place, again, so he's sending him to battle. The king has been wounded, and he's sending him to the place where the king no longer is. And when you arrive there, look for Jehu, son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi, and go in and make him rise up from among his associates. Take him to the inner room. Then take the flask of oil, pour it on his head, and say, thus says the Lord, I have anointed you king over Israel. Then open the door and flee, and do not delay. So the young man, servant of the prophet, went to Ramoth-Gilead. And when he arrived there, there were captains of the army sitting. He said, I have a message for you, commander. Jehu said, for which one of us? And he said, for you, commander. Then he arose and went in the house, poured the oil on his head, and said to him, thus says the Lord God of Israel. Yeah. Underline that, circle that, asterisk, whatever, mustard stain, however you remember this. Now, in the fear of the Lord, okay, is the beginning of wisdom. Psalm 111:10. We'll get to what's said here. Now, it also repeats in the Proverbs in a little different way, but I want to bring to your attention Psalm 111:10. Now, I think you're catching it tonight, that the fear of the Lord will keep you from evil. The fear of the Lord will find you in the right place at the right time. The fear of the Lord will keep you from bad decisions. Psalm 111:9. Do I have the right verse? 111:10, excuse me. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever. Now here we go. Elisha sends one of the sons of prophets, gives him specific instructions, and this is exactly what he says. Verse 6, I have anointed you king over the people of the Lord over Israel. Now, I love that phrase. I have anointed you king over the people of the Lord. Okay. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. When the Holy Spirit tells you what to do, calls you to do it, gives you gifts to go do it, in the fear of the Lord, that this is the verse. Psalm 111:10, a good understanding have all those who do his commandments. And commandments is implied. A good understanding have all those who do his word. That's the whole point. So now the word comes, and Jehu is being anointed. You shall strike down the house of Ahab your master, that I may avenge the blood on my servants, the blood of all the servants of the Lord at the hand of Jezebel. For the whole house of Ahab shall perish. I will cut off from Ahab all the males in Israel, both bond and free. Do you understand what his commandments to Jehu are? He's commanded to commit treason. Because God is going to make him king, and he's going to take vengeance upon Ahab and his house. Now remember when Ahab seemingly got away with murdering Naboth? When Ahab seemingly got away with, you know, this is our next important one, the fear of the Lord is, Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So I'm putting them both together now. So you have Psalm 111:10 and Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Now, we uncovered this in Genesis 22 when we studied the Lord testing the righteousness of Abraham concerning taking his only son whom he loved and offering him on that same mountain that Jesus was crucified on. So now, as you listen to this, so the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. He has to know in the fear of the Lord that this is God when he takes these steps, when he does this. Knowledge of the Holy One. Now look at it. Look what is being stated in the first person. This is, thus says the Lord. And here's the phrase, I have anointed you king. Okay? I may avenge the blood of my servants, the prophets. Okay? I will cut off from Ahab all the males. I will make the house of Ahab like the house of Jeroboam and Baasha. The dog shall eat Jezebel on the ground. No one will bury her. And he opened the door and fled. Knowledge of the Holy One. In the fear of the Lord, I heard you are Sardis. May of 2013. Now, when you hear in the fear of the Lord, and in the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge of the Holy One. So I invite you to a personal, close, intimate relationship with God's Holy Spirit. Okay? Through prayer and through knowledge of what He says to you, how will you find out what to do? How will you know it's Him? By doing what you believe He says for you to do, and then finding out afterwards if that really is God. So here the prophet shows up and he's speaking for God in the first person. Jehu came out to the servants of his master and said to them, is all well? And they said to him, is all well? One said to him, is all well? Why did this madman come to you? So this was for them quite an interesting interaction. Don't be surprised when God, by the Holy Spirit, sends you to somebody and you obey God and say what you're to say, that others there might think you are mad. Why did this madman come to you? And he said to them, well, you know the man and his babble. And they said to him, a lie. Tell us now. So he said, thus and thus he spoke to me, saying, thus says the Lord, I will make you king over Israel. Then each man hastened to take his garment, put it under him on the top of the steps, and blew the trumpet, Jehu is king. Now, ready for the next one? Proverbs 15:33. 15:33, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. So they take action upon the word of the Lord. They take, in the fear of the Lord, they take action upon the word of the Lord from the prophet. I wonder how many things, and you think of the excuse of cessationism, I believe is directly related to a disobedience to not wanting to do what God says for us to do. Ephesians 5, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. That's enough for me to say, we need to be filled with God's Holy Spirit. Likewise, you just consider this, 15:33, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. So they first agree with and then make Jehu king. And before honor is humility. And if you listen to that, who is he? Well, up until that, he was the commander. He wasn't the king. But he's immediately exalted. Jehu is king. So Jehu, the son of Jehoshaphat, son of Nimshi, conspired against Joram. Now Joram had been defending Ramoth-Gilead, he and all Israel, against Hazael, king of Syria. But King Joram had returned to Jezreel to recover from the wounds which the Syrians had inflicted on him when he fought with Hazael, king of Syria. And Jehu said, if you are so minded, let no one leave or escape from the city to go and tell it in Jezreel. So again, continue with the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. They're conspiring now. It's not just Jehu. Okay? They believe that the Lord is going to fulfill what he just said. And they agree together. And so in the instruction of wisdom, expect God to instruct you with wisdom. Do you know that the Lord, the Holy Spirit, gave me 5 things to do that night when he said we were Sardis? He gave me 5 things to do and bring back to start doing in the church. And I started them immediately when I got back. Okay? the instruction of wisdom and the fear of the Lord. So Jehu rode in a chariot, went to Jezreel. Joram was laid up there, and Ahaziah, king of Judah, had come down to see Joram. Now a watchman stood on the tower in Jezreel, and he saw a company of Jehu as he came, and said, "I see a company of men." And Joram said, "Get a horseman and send him to meet him. Let him say, 'Is it peace?'" Now, again, think of the mentality of the king who was wounded in battle, back recovering, and what does he want to know? How is the war going? Are we in trouble? Are we being defeated, or do we have to surrender to the enemy? Is it peace? So the horseman went to meet him and said, "Thus says the king, is it peace?" And Jehu said, "What have you to do with peace? Turn around and follow me." So the watchman reported, saying, "The messenger went and is not coming back." Then he sent out a second horseman and came and said, "Thus says the king, is it peace?" And Jehu answered, "What have you to do with peace? Turn around and follow me." So the watchman reported, saying, "He went up to them and is not coming back. And the driving is like the driving of Jehu, the son of Nimshi, for he drives furiously." So, no, don't run out and get the personalized plate. Right? Joram said, "Make ready," and his chariot was made ready. Then Joram, the king of Israel, and Ahaziah, king of Judah, went out, each in his chariot, and they went out to meet Jehu and met him on the property of Naboth the Jezreelite. That's our second one tonight. You had Gehazi before King Joram, exactly as the woman came back. He's talking about restored to life, and look, she's right here. We have another one. It happened when Joram saw Jehu, and he said, "Is it peace, Jehu?" And he answered, "What peace? As long as the wickedness and evil that is going on in our world." Right? You do understand, there is no peace with the world. "What peace, as long as the harlotries of your mother Jezebel and her witchcraft are so many?" Then Joram turned around and fled and said to Ahaziah, "Treachery, Ahaziah." Now Jehu drew his bow with full strength, shot Joram between his arms. The arrow came out his heart, and he sank down in his chariot. Then Jehu said to Bidkar, the captain, "Pick him up, throw him into the tract of the field of Naboth the Jezreelite. For remember, when you and I were riding together behind Ahab his father, that the Lord laid this burden upon him. Surely I saw yesterday the blood of Naboth and the blood of his sons, says the Lord, and I will repay you in this plot, says the Lord. Now therefore, take and throw him on the plot of ground according to the word of the Lord." Now let's go back and pick this one up from today's Proverb 8:13. "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogance, and the evil way." Okay. Oh, excuse me, not that one. I want to pick up Psalm 19:9. That's the one I want. So it's a duplication. "The fear of the Lord is clean, pure." Now, so let me talk to you about this. You're commanded to forgive. You're commanded to forgive everyone. In fact, it's described in Romans 12, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." I don't know if any of you will ever be an instrument of vengeance. I highly doubt it. In Christ Jesus, we're commanded to forgive. The fear of the Lord is clean. "Enduring forever, the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether." How long did it take for God to fulfill for Ahab and for Jezebel? It took years. Seemingly, the wicked get away with everything that they're doing. Why forgive? So when you're forgiving, you are simply doing in that obedience that I will no longer hold that other person accountable. And I'm not going to be the one taking vengeance. But listen, fear of the Lord is clean. "In the fear of the Lord, I obey the commandments, because the Lord said, if I will not forgive the sins of another, my sins will not be forgiven. In the fear of the Lord, that is clean and righteous and true are his judgments. But guess what? God will always make right in his actions towards each person. It's not for me to withhold forgiveness. And this is, the fear of the Lord is clean, righteous and true. True and righteous. And true and righteous. I got to get that phrase right. 19:9. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Now, we're close to wrapping this up here tonight. Verse 27. But when Ahaziah, king of Judah, saw this, he fled by the road to Beth-Hagen. So Jehu pursued him and said, shoot him also in the chariot. And they shot him at the ascent of Gur, which is by Ibleam. Then he fled to Megiddo and died there. So remember, the fear of the Lord prolongs days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. He had no business being there. In the fear of the Lord, don't be at the wrong spot. You go through Proverbs 7. And again, Solomon looks through the window lattice and he sees a young man devoid of wisdom passing to the place and going where he should not be. And the woman comes out and catches him. And Pierce's arrow struck his liver, did not know that it would cost his life. And you can put in here, again, I'll put this in, this Proverbs 14:27. This is the one I brought up before. But now listen to the context. This is the one that I had Jamie read way early because we needed it earlier. But now it's the other context. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. So reason with me. The boy who never would have been born but through prayer and gifts of miracles is born. When he dies, there's another miracle to restore his life. And that's where we started tonight. And now we have the king who is born into royalty and has a path of life to royalty, only now to have his life shortened. So listen to both sides of this. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to turn one away from the snares of death. Even if that had to be done supernaturally for that boy, he was restored to life. Now, here you have Ahaziah, right? No business being there. He's snared. Okay? No fear of God, and he's caught in the snare. When you have fear of the Lord, you know what you're watching for all the time? Where's the snare? I know I'm going to be tempted. When temptation comes, I know that God is faithful. He'll provide a way of escape. When in the fear of the Lord, when tempted, you're like, where's the way out? How do I get out of this? So you're not snared. Now, how many do we have tonight? We got some duplications. We probably had about 8 now. The fear of the Lord is. And we got a count on them? We have 8? You have 8. I trust you. Now, one more to come. Now, when Jehu had come to Jezreel, he died. We got to get 20. His servants carried him away back to Jerusalem. They bury him with his fathers in the city of David. In the 11th year of Joram, son of Ahab, Ahaziah had become king over Judah. Now, Jehu had come to Jezreel. Jezebel heard of it. And she put paint on her eyes and adorned her head and looked through a window. Then Jehu entered the gate and she said, is it peace, Zimri, murderer of your master? So she's already heard the report that her husband's been killed and that this was a servant, and this is a record bringing back. I think Zimri, as he murdered his master reigned for like 1 week. You know, so here comes Jezebel, and we don't get the reason why, but she put on all of her royal attire, right, and adorned herself. And he looked up at the window and said, who is on my side? Who? So 2 or 3 eunuchs looked out at him, and he said, throw her down. So they threw her down, and some of her blood spattered on the wall and the horses, and they trampled her underfoot. And when he had gone in, ate and drank, and he said, go see this accursed woman, bury her, for she was a king's daughter. So they went to bury her. Now, I can't imagine what it was for those eunuchs to serve with her sorcery and all the stuff that she did. And they have a choice to make. Just like we have a choice to make. And this is our last one tonight, Proverbs 23:17. Now, Jehu is going to make a really bad decision in the upcoming chapters to not serve the Lord. But in the beginning of his fulfillment, in the fear of the Lord, he does everything that God wanted him to do. And then he simply disobeys how God is to be worshipped. So it's a great lesson for us. But we'll pick this up, Proverbs 23:17. And the fear of the Lord is zealous. Now, this verse, I'm going to apply it in a couple ways. 23:17. Do not let your heart envy sinners, but be zealous for the fear of the Lord all the day. Now, Jehu starts out great, and you could take the all of the day, his zealousness for God when he begins to reign disappears. He's going to operate in some fear of the Lord with zeal in the beginning. Likewise for us, you could apply it every day. In the beginning of the day, you might get up and have great time alone with the Lord, only to find yourself somewhere in the day dabbling in things that you should not be messing with. Okay. Do not let your heart envy sinners. And maybe that's enough, you, because all of us are connected to the world unless you absolutely disconnect yourself from the handheld environment of a steady stream of the world coming at you. Zealous for the fear of the Lord all the day. Chunk her down, boys. Chunk her down. They throw her down. He gave the command to bury her. They couldn't find her. Verse 35. They went to bury her, but they found no more of her than her skull and the feet and the palms of her hands. Therefore they came back and told him, and he said, this is the word of the Lord which he spoke by his servant Elijah the Tishbite, saying, on the plot of ground of Jezreel, dogs shall eat the flesh of Jezebel, and the corpse of Jezebel shall be as refuse on the surface of the field in the plot at Jezreel, so they shall not say, here lies Jezebel. Now, where does that leave us in the fear of the Lord? Is that God's righteous judgments are always fulfilled. Why forgive? You forgive and let vengeance belong to God. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. The sin of unforgiveness will absolutely destroy your life. That sin has taken more people out of ministry than you can imagine. Just won't forgive, thinking that they have to be the ones to make everything right. So, Father in heaven, we thank you for the fear of the Lord and ask for your wisdom tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.